Hey there, fuckers, it's Alex Bernard. Now, about a week ago, I asked you all to send me some... questions, and for affinities of telling me that I posted my journal a week ago, so time to answer your shit. I'm going to answer these relatively in order that they were asked, except I'm going to keep Alfador's question till last, because I like it a lot. Okay, first up, Relee asks, what three things would you most want to have in your personal dungeon? Now, this was a difficult one for me, because I don't know that I really want a dungeon. Now, if we're talking about an actual, like, S&M dungeon, whoopee cushions, dildos, and squirt bottles full of Dr. Pepper. Speaking of that. Oh, Dr. Pepper, I want to fuck you so much. If we're talking about a snuffy dungeon, lots of guillotines, a cannon, and a conveyor belt full of all sorts of mangly devices. That'd be fun. Wolf Tomorrow asks, do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man is seated at the table in the laboratory of the Utility Muffin Research Kitchen. Reaching for an oversized chrome spoon, he gathers an intimate quantity of dried muffin remnants, and brushing his scapular aside, proceeds to dump these inside of his shirt. He turns to us and speaks. Some people like cupcakes better. I, for one, care less for them. And if you don't know what that is, go figure it out. It's the internet. Shade1111 asks, what would you love to have happen to the world? List between 3 and 10. I wish for... I don't want to say everyone's IQ to go up, but I wish for everyone on Earth to be given the capacity to think critically. I want people to have control over their own instincts. No more xenophobia, no more clinging to irrational beliefs out of a fear of change. I want a whole bunch of diseases to go away, like rabies. That shit's unfair. I want Disney to come out with a full box set of Rescue Rangers on DVD. Same thing for Tiny Toons. And I want there to be Fifi plushies. Salty asks, niggers, Jews, baby fuck, or gay marriage? And I reply, why do I have to choose? I kind of like all four of them. Rally Rev asks, if you could be on any game show that ever existed, which game show would you want to be on? I don't know, really. I don't think too much about game shows. I don't know about Jeopardy. I tend to do pretty good when I'm watching that on TV, but at the same time, I would probably panic under the lights and get all tongue-tied. They'll be like, you know, what is blah, 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 Alex? If you were a politician and had a budget shortfall that could only be solved by the creation of a new consumptive tax, and it absolutely had to be something that no one has ever issued a tax on before, what would it be? I am not 100% sure what a consumptive tax is, but I do know one thing that's never been taxed before. Putting a tax on individuals who own, are in the upper 1% of wealth holders in the country. I doubt that has ever specifically been taxed before. And I keep hearing again and again that 1% of people in this country own 99% of the wealth, or something ridiculous to that effect. So yeah, tax those fuckers. How hot would it have to be for you to go swimming in Jell-O to cool off? If that was your only choice, what flavor would you pick? I would do that just for the hell of it. Any type of... It's pretty hot right now. I would do that right now. And what flavor? Any. All Jell-O is the same. I am not a Jell-O racist. In your opinion, who have more satisfying orgasms, men or women? Well, since I lack female genitalia, I'm not really equipped to answer that question. Haha, I made a pun. A madman kidnaps you, a baby, and an old man. None of you know each other. He offers you the choice of whether he will kill the old man or the baby. If you tell him to kill the old man, he will let you and the baby go free. If you tell him to kill the baby, you and the old man go free. If you refuse either choice, he'll kill all three of you. Which do you choose? Now, I suppose I could do the badass route and say, can't you just... and ask the madman if he can just kill the baby and the old man. But seriously, if I was actually in this scenario, you know, I'm kind of like Kirk. I don't believe in the Kobayashi Maru, the no-win scenario. I'd be all like to the madman. I'd be like, no, dude, I've always wanted to kill a baby. Give me that fucking knife. And he'd be like, all right, man. And as soon as the knife was in my hand, I would stab the fuck out of him, going for, you know, like limbs and chest first, you know, trying to avoid arteries at first, just enough to get him on the ground and bleeding to death. And then I'd look over and I'd stare in his eyes and I'd say, next time, don't kidnap somebody who's crazier than you. Okay, moving on. Bub Rub, woo-woo, asks, who's that Pokemon? It's Vulpix! Woo! Would you be willing to describe the best sex you've ever had? I laid in bed and rubbed my dick on a plush stuffed animal. What do you throw away that keeps returning? I don't know. I've never had a bag of garbage, you know, grow legs and come back to the house. I don't really know how to answer that. Would the government be just as enthusiastically blind about a proposed mosque near the Pentagon or any other related attack sites as they are about the proposed mosque near Ground Zero? Not a bad question. I think that there would be a shitload of outrage if there was one next to where Flight, was it 93? Where Flight 93 crashed. I think the citizens who live around there would probably be even more pissed than in New York. But as far as a mosque near the Pentagon, I don't think there'd be any outrage at all, because I think that the government would simply just deny them the permits, you know, covertly under the ground, and it would never happen. It would never even get proposed, started in any way. They'd just be like, no. Can you describe the moment in your life that you were more angry than ever before, and what caused that anger? Oh God, that's a difficult question. I don't know. I have been, like, angry to the point of heart attack so many times in my life. I don't know that I could pick out a particular point, but the biggest one that comes to my mind might be when, probably a lot of people know that my mother was, like, an emotionally abusive sociopathic bitch when I was a kid, and after an entire decade of not living with her anymore, through circumstance, we started emailing, and, like, she apologized in all the ways that I've ever wanted her to. She said everything I'd never imagined I'd hear from her, and, as we're getting to know each other, all of a sudden my grandpa has a stroke, and he has to go in the hospital, and then my aunt goes crazy and trashes the house, so we gotta move out of there, and mom's like, oh, we'll take you in, and, you know, you can stay with us, and we'll do everything we can for you until grandpa's better, and everything's like, yay, and then about a month that goes by, and then all of a sudden she completely turns on me, decides that I'm torturing her, and I, at my time, have been doing everything I can to, you know, be a good house guest and take care of grandpa. He's been my first priority. But mom goes crazy. She's, you know, making up shit, lying to her husband, my stepdad, about shit, dragging him home from work, just lying. And finally she just says, oh, I can't take it anymore. He's torturing me. I have to throw him out of the house. And grandpa says, look, he's been doing a great job taking care of me. If he goes, I go. And mom said, okay. So she kicked us out of the house. 70-plus-year-old stroke victim kicked us out of the house into our old house, which at that point was doing some repairs, and it had no electricity, there was no food, no hot water, the furniture was all fucked up, we couldn't sit down on anything, and just drove off smiling. And, I lasted 2 days before I went completely insane. Moving on. Just One Calorie asks, shit? Just got real. Cool Kit asks, what is the capital of Assyria? My ass! What was one of the best movie-going experiences? Not favorite movie seen in theaters, just what movie did you come out of the theaters and say to yourself, that was the best time I've ever had? Ooh. I don't know. That's kind of difficult. I did go and see The Matrix Reloaded in IMAX with my best friend in real life, who I've known since kindergarten, and that was a hell of a fun experience. Movie definitely is better on a giant-ass screen, but yeah, the experience for that was great. What was one of your favorite TV shows growing up, Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers? and Tiny Toons, and any cartoon that happened to be on. I would look at anything that was animated when I was a kid. Didn't matter what it was. If you had three wishes, what would they be? I have thought about this question a whole hell of a lot. First wish I would do would be something impossible but not exactly difficult. Like, I'd tell the genie, okay, I wish that we were in New York City in an outdoor cafe and then I was eating a giant banana split. And poof. And if that happened exactly the way I'd wanted, I'd be like, okay, I'm convinced of your powers. Now I'm going to make you a deal. You give me my second wish exactly as I want it. And so long as it doesn't conflict with my wish, I'll give you my third wish to do anything you damn well want with. Anything you want, you can have if you give me my second wish exactly the way I want it. At that point, I would wish to be given the ability to alter reality in any way that I want, purely by willing it to be so. Kind of like Q on Star Trek, but without the little flashy thing. And that I had the power to retract anything that I'd done if I didn't like the consequences, that everything would happen exactly the way I wanted it to, and that the only limit on my power is that I would not be able to permanently physically harm any living sapient creature. Because, you know, hell, any one of us can get really angry and just, you know, shoot out a fucking lightning bolt and kill off thousands of people, and, you know, that's kind of mean. You want to preemptively stop yourself from doing that. But yeah, then I would be the most powerful being in the world, and he could go off and do whatever he wanted, and then, yeah, I would just kind of rule everything. Nah, shit, I'd just magic up Transformers all day long and make myself look like a fox and sit around, just, you know, having orgasm after orgasm after orgasm in, like, a giant sky castle, and I'd have a DeLorean, and it'd be great. Captain KQ asks, what is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? If you answer 42, I will reach between your eyes into your skull and pull out your medulla oblongata. This is a serious question. The answer actually is 42. I'm a dick. Pendragon Kuro asks, willest thou draw more Foxy Loxy? Yes, actually. As soon as I got that question, I got inspired, and I did a little doodle with her, and... Abby Mallard, a.k.a. Ugly Duckling, and I'll upload that as soon as I'm finished with this. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce this user's name. Praojazdy asked, what is your biggest creative failure to date? Ouch! Dr. Peckper, necessary to answer this question. There's a lot of projects that I've started on and never finished, and one that I've thought a lot about was a kind of short novel involving time travel. It was like, on the surface, it would be like kind of a fun time travel story, but deeper into it, it gets into the main character having to prevent a school shooting. And I really wanted to delve into what actually causes them and dig beyond the usual media stereotypes of, you know, what causes this behavior, and dig to, you know, what actually is in common with a lot of these kids. And it's been a really... I've wrote, like, first chapters of that and then abandoned them, like, at least twice. And I've thought about the idea a lot. I mean, I have the whole story mapped out in my head, and I just can't write it. It's so daunting to find the right voice to tell it in. And to make sure that my research is right, I want this to be as accurate as possible. Because, yeah, pretty much, it's like everything you think you know about Columbine, unless you've been doing your research, is wrong. Everything that the news people reported on within, like, the first 24 hours is utter bullshit. They skimmed the surface of everything, you know. They weren't targeting jocks, they weren't members of the Trenchcoat Mafia, they didn't like Marilyn Manson, you know, they weren't outcasts, you know, the whole perception is bullshit, and I wanted to actually acknowledge, you know, what is causing this, and I do think a big part of it is the media basically saying, you know, hey kids, you know, if you kill a bunch of your classmates, we'll put you on the news and make you fucking famous. Okay, what is your favorite swear word other than fuck, and how does it compare? How does it compare to fuck, I guess? That is my favorite word. That one. No. Thank you, Dr. Pepper, for saving me from answering this. I don't know. Cunt's good. Cock. Motherfucker. No, that's got fuck in it. Oh, I like them all. I don't know that I have a favorite. Of course, I could be a smartass and say boont, and like three of you would get that. How do you, read, how should I, etc., start working in on a story you've previously left halfway through the first part? Force yourself to do it. There's no other way. You have to just really get tough on yourself, and this happens to me all the fucking time. There's a story I'm writing now that I am like 80% finished with, and I can't finish the fucking thing. I just keep having more stuff to do, and it's just a matter of just saying, I'm going to do it today, and just not letting yourself do anything else. Sitting yourself in front of the computer, putting the story in front of you, and then just, you know, starting to write on it, whether you liked it or not. Now, if you get a few paragraphs in and you realize you're, like, reaching for every word and it's excruciating and it's not coming out right, then, yeah, abandon it and try again the next day. Because the worst thing you can do for your writing is try to force it if it's just not coming to you. Your writing should flow to you. Ideally, you should be writing, your ideas should be coming to you so fast that, your fingers are too slow to type them out. You know, when the writing is coming faster than you can type it, that's when you know you're in the zone. That's your best. When there's like 30 seconds going by between each word, just stop. You can't do it today. You've made a valiant effort. Go on. But it really is just forcing yourself to sit down. Ether Realty asks, what's your favorite religion? No, that's a serious question. What's your favorite religion? Is it pure outside of them? I want to see your opinion and your reasons to back them. I know the question's out of your comfort zone, but that's the point. That's so difficult because it's like asking, what's your favorite type of cancer? Even the ones that aren't, you know, actively murdering people are still based around irrationality. And the only thing there's only one thing that I think is worthy of our worship, and that's the truth. But, recently I heard an essay it was a podcast about the Raelians who believe in some crazy-ass alien shit, and they support nudity and free love and science. They're a lot about science and genetic research, and it's like, yeah, I think if I was forced at gunpoint to choose a religion, I'd choose these guys, because at least they still believe in crazy shit, but they seem to be having a good time, and they seem to be, they seem to at least have their priorities right for, what stuff to do. Four more. Chocolate or vanilla? Chocolate. Do you have a particular fixation on a body part / orifice? If so, which? I like my dick. I wish I could say anything more substantive. In a movie about your life and all that has happened to you and such, who'd play Mizbah? If any of you have seen Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, it would be the guy who played Moist. I don't know his name, but he would be perfect to play Mizbah. And if you don't know who Mizbah is, never mind. He's my best friend in real life. I've known him since kindergarten. We are Jay and Silent Bob. We are Harold and Kumar. And finally, if Elmer Fudd, Yosemite Sam, Granny Elmira, and other human characters in the Looney Tunes, Tiny Toons series were also anthro-animal things, what do you figure they'd be? I don't know. Elmer Fudd can't really be anything other than a human because, if he's an animal and he's hunting, then that just sets up this weird, like, what? It's like how Goofy's a dog, but Pluto's also a dog, and so it's like, it brings up questions of slavery. Granny? I don't know, maybe a kitty cat? Oh, but, no, oh, shit, and then she's owning Sylvester, and then that, and as far as Elmira, go to PandaFox, the user PandaFox on Furfinity, and she did a bunch of art of Elmira turned into every species in the world, and it's incredibly adorable. Snowfox asks, how I mine for fish with dynamite? Do you have any copies of Battletoads? I don't know. Is this Battletoads? I keep losing the game. How do I win? Choose to. What is your favorite movie quote of all time? Ooh, I've got a lot. I'm not sure. I think my absolute favorite has to be the opening monologue from Mallrats about Walter, who keeps getting cats stuck up his ass. But that's a little too long. But my second favorite has to be, "Don't kill him. If you kill him, he won't learn nothing." Love that. What do you do when love fails for you? Masturbate. What is your own personal heaven slash hell, regardless whether or not you believe in them? My own personal heaven is where I have complete control over my own brain functions. My personal hell is, my personal hell would be as if I was suddenly mentally retarded. Like, if I could still think, but I couldn't get my thoughts to articulate. Like, if I was watching myself and, you know, if like my body was, you know, just stumbling around acting like a fucking toddler, and I'm in me and I can't get myself to articulate any of my thoughts or speak, yeah, I would totally leap off a cliff at the nearest opportunity. What is the square root of pi? Horse cocks. What is the square root of cake? Same thing. Where do babies come from? My ass. And finally, what does the future hold for our generation and the next? No one knows this. Any predictions about the future are destined to be, you know, there's going to be some truth to them and there's going to be some inaccuracy. Look at Back to the Future 2. They got some things pretty darn close and some things wildly off. I watched it last night and they had fax machines and I'm laughing at that. Does anybody even own a fax machine anymore? but they had, you know, bad 80s nostalgia, and yeah, we still have quite a bit of that. Samantha Welton asks, is Alex your real name or a pseudonym? And that's an interesting question, because I do consider it my real name. It's not my birth name, but, you know, my mom was drunk and probably high through most of... through my conception, and then I'm guessing here. But yeah, she was an idiot, and I don't really feel any connection whatsoever to my real name. It doesn't suit me at all, and that's the why I chose Alex Renard, because I don't remember how or when I got it, but as soon as I did, it just felt like slipping, you know, it felt like, you know, when you've been up for a long, long time, you know, when you finally slip into bed, and it feels so comfortable, and you're just, you know, oh, that's how finding the name Alex Renard felt for me. Ass, cock, cunt, or titties? I like them all, so I think we should combine them all into one mega genital. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? She's in my basement, with a gag in her mouth and my semen in all of her holes. But what's your opinion of original character tournaments, if any? I don't really have an opinion because I can never follow those things. I mean, I see like individual entries for like the Vor contest-y type thing, and they're interesting, but I can't keep up with the whole tournament. How about your opinion on the American media? I think that there is growing evidence to support the idea that our popular entertainment is growing more sophisticated over time, despite the fact that I do think that a lot of movie studios, I genuinely think that they are competing to see who can come out with the stupidest movie that will still make money. But in general, you look at movies like The Dark Knight and District 9 and shows like Lost or The Sopranos or Heroes that have, you know, a continuous story that has to be followed, and video games. Fucking Bioshock and Bioshock 2 are the perfect teachers of the philosophy, of the pitfalls of the philosophies of objectivism and collectivism. And you know, like fucking Pac-Man's gonna teach philosophy. So I think, yeah, our popular culture is becoming more complex and more nuanced and shit, but I think that our news is making us stupider. Even on the national news, I don't know, but every time I watch the local news, every night without fail, they do or say something so fucking stupid that I just want to run down to the studio and flamethrower them all. It's just so fucking stupid. It's just nothing but continuation of bad stereotypes, you know, fear-mongering, just basically like, yeah, all the local news is anymore is, you know, hey, you know, parents and white women, here's what you need to be afraid of this week. It's all it fucking is. Asura Ludu asks, if you went to hell, which city would you most want to live in? I don't know. I've not really thought about specific cities. I guess where Bartleby lives, because, I mean, obviously, since I created that, that would be my ideal place, but there is a location in hell to fit everyone's preference, because it's just, it's so fucking big that somewhere out there, there's a community that fits exactly you, and for me, that would probably be where Bartleby is, but, I don't know, maybe not. Top 5 inspirations in animation. Ooh, good one. Let me open up here real quick. Let's see if I can find my top 100 animated films. Top 50 animated movies. First two are obviously Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers and Tiny Toons. I actually learned to draw from copying images in a Tiny Toons coloring book, and I just kept drawing them over and over and over and over until I could get a lock on that style. And then I attempted Rescue Ranger Fanfictions. Another big inspiration for me was the anime Armitage the Third Polymatrix, which was probably the first anime I ever saw. It was on Sci-Fi Channel. They happened to have an anime week. And looking back at it, watching it again, I realized that it's like, it's composed almost entirely of cliches, but at that time they were completely new to me, and I thought it was an amazing story. It was just, it looked so different from anything that I'd ever seen in animation before, and I was just spellbound by it. I watched Yellow Submarine a lot as a kid. I don't know if I'd call that an inspiration. My Neighbor Totoro, that was another one, another early anime for me. That and Akira. Yeah, I think Neighbor Totoro and Akira were two other real early anime films that I saw, and they're kind of the yin and yang of anime, you know, just the world-destroying badassery and then just ultimate cuteness. and seeing those, I think both had an impact on my writing. If you had the chance to have your stories animated, which company would you want to do it? Ouch. I have really thought about that a lot, and I don't know. I guess Warner Brothers. There are certain studios that did artwork for, whichever Japanese company worked on Tiny Toons did some gorgeous animation. You can usually tell, I think what they're called, Wang. But, yeah, they did How I Spent My Summer Vacation and some of the better episodes. But yeah, you can almost always tell those episodes because they were much higher animation quality. And so yeah, if I could pick a particular studio, it would be them. What's your take on the issue of Target donating money to Republican Tom Emmer's campaign? I haven't heard of that, but it sounds like naughty business. Are there any characters you like but who are difficult for you to draw? Similarly, are any characters especially easy to draw, you just have a knack for them? I don't know if I have a specific knack for them, but Fifi and Gadget are both really easy just because I've drawn them so many times. Any characters I like but who are difficult for me to draw, Foxy Loxy. Oh my god, it's so fucking hard. I told you earlier I did a little drawing of her based on Pendragon Kuro's question. I think that was scrolling. Yes. I had to draw her head 4 times before I was even close to satisfied, and even now I'm still not satisfied with the drawing. Her body shape is so different from what I'm used to. It's really, really difficult to draw her. Landon Caragas Fox asked me a lot of good questions, but they're really long, and there's no way I could possibly read them, so just go to the journal and look at my answers there. Another one I don't know how to pronounce. NeoXKS asks, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. No more. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, I can't sing. What is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is 3 parts. In order of importance, they are to learn, to do good, and to have fun. He also asks, what is the square root of pi? Horsecocks. What would happen if a Chuck Norris roundhouse collided with a Falcon Punch? Chuck Norris would disintegrate and die because he's old. Ashtoret asks, what can change the nature of a man? Fear. Love. Money. Or a bullet. Mousechops asks, your stories have a rather particular flavor, which I love, but they tread on some controversial ground. How do you find yourself thinking of things? That's why I asked him what he meant, and he was talking specifically about Snuffy and Cub. I don't know how I started. He also asked how old I was. I'm not sure. How do you ever see yourself stopping or giving up these fantasies? Definitely not. But if I had to guess, I would say that the Snuffy stuff came from watching cartoons and seeing how utterly invulnerable they are, and kind of wanting that, kind of, you know, wanting the knowledge of knowing that I could be, you know, hit with an anvil or run over with a steamroller, and knowing I would be okay. That's kind of the core of my Snuffy fetish, is not being afraid of anything because you know nothing can hurt you. And the Cub stuff, I had a shitty childhood. And part of me, you know, is trying to recreate it, I guess, because it's almost as if it didn't really happen. I have no emotional connection to my childhood, so I'm trying to relive it in a lot of ways. And so when I write stories, you know, I write them from the perspective of Cub characters because I can't really imagine doing them from any other perspective. Rakaziel? I'm sorry! Asks, what books in particular would you recommend one should have read in their lives? One of the most amazing books I ever read was Lizard Music by Daniel Pinkwater. I read that as a kid, and it was like he was writing directly to me. It was amazing. It's a wonderful, quirky book with great characters. I read a lot of Stephen King. I really like him as an author. I like how... I think a lot of critics who dismiss him as being, you know, a popular writer are idiots, because other popular writers I've read, like Dean fucking Koontz, suck ass, and Stephen King, you can tell he's still writing mostly for himself. He's still putting a lot of effort into his books, and he's doing it because he wants to make a good book. The only reason he's as famous as he is because he has some kind of fucking superpower to crank out 1,000-page novels every other fucking day. I think my three favorites from him are It, The Talisman, which he wrote with Peter Straub, and I've heard that's going to be a movie in a few years, and I'm really apprehensive about that, and Under the Dome. I just got finished with that. It is easily his best thing in 10 years, possibly longer. His last few books have been like, they've all been lacking in some other way. This one was just, the pacing is just a fucking rocket throughout. It's genuinely fun. It's like a fucking carnival of horrors. It's just like, you know, here's some horrible shit happening to people. Oh, look, it's gonna get worse. Oh, look, it's gonna get even worse. Oh, look, here's something happening. You know this is gonna lead to. Yes, it's gonna lead to something even worse. Oh, God, isn't this awful? You know, it's like going into the morgue, and there he is in the ringmaster's costume, lifting up all the sheets, and like, here's the corpses. You want to see them? I'm gonna poke this one's eyeball. Gush, gush, gush. So yeah, read that. It's really fun. Also, The Lucifer Principle by Howard Bloom. It's one of the smartest books I've ever read. It's fucking amazing. It'll make your head blow up. If you were to found a philosophic movement that were to become a religion of truth, how would you organize it, and what would be your commandments? Religion of truth. Oh, God, that's a contradiction. I don't know. I'm not an organizer. What would be my commandments? You know, be decent to each other, treat people the way you see them treating others. Not just the way you want to be treated, but, you know, if they're acting like an asshole to people, you know, don't be afraid to be an asshole back to them because they've earned it. And if they're being good to other people, then reward that. Always be honest with yourself first, because otherwise you can't be honest with other people. I made a vow a long time ago to be as honest as I possibly could with myself, and I've never regretted it. Have fun, learn. It's right. Amazingly enough, I think Bill and Ted really got it right. Be excellent to each other and party on, dudes. I mean, how much better would society be if it were based around being kind and having fun? If you could decide where 2 additional billions of science funding would go, which projects would you support or start with this money? I have to say that part of it would have to go to either genetic or bodily surgery so that people could become furries. I have to say that. Come on. But I like to throw a shitload of money into medical research. Tons and tons of money into medical research. I learned recently that I would be called a transhumanist because I like the idea of us using technology to augment ourselves to the point where we become beyond human. I like that idea. I want to get to a point where everyone on Earth replaces their brains with, you know, fucking microchips that can do our brains' jobs a million times better, and we can all have perfect memories, and, you know, we can all actually learn how to treat each other good and not be ruled by these absolute caveman instincts. Omni87 asks, you've mentioned in my journal that you've thought of changing your name to Alex Renard because you don't like your real name. Exactly what is your real name? Turd Ferguson. If you had the chance to kill someone without any repercussions, would you do it? Yes! give me a second. I thought somebody else asked... Okay, yeah, somebody else asked something similar. I'll get to that in a second. But, yeah, there is a lot of people on this earth I think we could do without. Have you ever had a girlfriend? I have had 4 girlfriends. All of them have ended in tragedy. I do not intend on having any more. What's the weirdest thing you can do with your body that doesn't involve your penis? I can roll my eyes independently of each other like a fucking chameleon. I started trying to do this in grade school because I realized I was really good at crossing my eyes and also at rolling my eyes, and I thought, hey, wait, if I cross them and then hold one eye, can I roll the other one? And I can do that, and it looks really weird. And I've never met anyone else that can do that, so I'm happy. The Kaiser asks, would you support a revival of Tiny Toon Adventures if it was done in CGI? Oh, why? Why do you have to ask me that? I wouldn't mind CGI itself, it's just that most TV CGI looks so fucking bad these days. On the other hand, I mean, new episodes of Tiny Toons. I don't know, though. I mean, it was kind of a 90s thing. Could they, you know, maintain that level of funny? I would only support it if they had back the same voice actors, or at least most of the same actors, and if they had the same writers. If they get back the same writing staff, yeah, I could be okay with that. Avareth asks, I've probably touched on most of the ethical dilemmas or more pointedly ideological impossibilities in various journals of yours over times and see no need to upset you by bringing up hopeless situations, so instead, have you been touched by his noodly appendage? Yes, the flying spaghetti monster raped me. It was glorious. Tanik Xavier asks, if you could get rid of any one person in the world, who would it be? Yes, this was the question I was referring to earlier. I've thought about this a hell of a lot. There's a lot of people on Earth who need to go away. I'm thinking of, like, you know, brutal dictators in places like Africa, you know, where, like, one man holds the destinies of millions in his hands and doesn't give a shit if all his people die of poverty, you know, and fucking people like Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter. But as soon as I was asked that question, I knew the answer, and it's a bit selfish, but I can't deny that this is who it is. There's a troll. No, I don't want to say troll because that makes it sound trivial. There is a crazy person, a person who is mentally ill, who has been dicking with me for a while, for no discernible reason. They pretend at all times to be a fictional character. I have no idea of their gender or, you know, where the hell they are. but just out of nowhere, just started fucking with me in just the weirdest, least comprehensible manner possible. And then they did something so cowardly, so irrational, so utterly uncalled for, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but the act itself wasn't what got to me. It was my utter inability to understand this person's motives for it. The sheer fucking craziness of it. It's like, why in the shit would you do that? And so yeah, this person, I'm not going to name them, you know, because that'll get you all interested, you know, and you'll be asking me for details, and I'm not going to fucking, you know, no. But yeah, they're crazy, and it's interesting, at one point they actually compared me to Hannibal Lecter, and I found that really interesting, because I have read all of Thomas Harris's books with Hannibal Lecter in it, and on one thing we do agree, me and the character, Hannibal Lecter in general will not fuck with you if you don't fuck with him. Not always, there's certainly exceptions, but in general, if you show him respect, he'll show you respect back, which is why he didn't, you know, he actually helped out Clarice. She showed him respect. She treated him like a human being. On the other hand, Will Graham and Mason Verger and Inspector Potsy, they all came after him. And Hannibal Lecter felt that that was rude of them. And so he felt that that gave him, in a way, that was them giving him permission to do anything he fucking wanted to them. You know, if you come after me, I will fuck you up. And it's your fault. Because you chose to come after me. And I feel that way myself. I do genuinely believe that. I believe if somebody comes after me, they have absolutely no right to complain about anything that I fucking do to them, because they made the choice. So yeah, this person, if I could get rid of them, absolutely. Absolutely, I would burn them to death. Anyway. If you were the head of a charitable organization devoted to helping people in war-torn countries, would you help any village where the people would rather get a handout than to, say, help set up tents in return for food? And he goes on, citing a specific example of a country where the Red Cross, like, asked them to help out, and they were like, fuck you, and then they ran off and looking for another place to just get food. I think, yeah, I think I would deny them food. I think, you know, if there's like a big disaster happens, let's say there's an earthquake somewhere and there's a big group of people that just wants food and they refuse to help out their fellow man anyway, I'd be like, fuck you, we're leaving. You know, we'll come back when you're willing to, you know, do something for your fellow people instead of just you. Which, maybe that's a little bit cruel, but I think it's crueler to only think of yourself in a situation like that where everyone around you needs help and you're only thinking of yourself. Oh, God, another one I can't pronounce. Arathdron asks, do you have any advice or hints or what have you to give to any aspiring writers, perhaps a technique or something that has served you well in the course of your writing? Well, I said earlier, don't force it when it's coming out shitty, but, you know, do force yourself to sit down and at least try to write. I always make my characters first. In any story, the characters always come first, and I usually know when it's time to start writing in a particular idea, when I'm just, like, laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, and the characters are having whole conversations back and forth between each other. They've developed themselves that much, and I'm not even putting any conscious thought into it. I'm just imagining whole scenes with them without any effort. When I write, I usually think about the characters and the plots and things a long time beforehand. Usually before any novel, I've thought about ideas for about a month. I don't know if this is advice per se, but it works. It does kind of help to have everything set in your mind. But not too set. I don't do the whole draft thing. I just, you know, write what I want to write and then go back and edit it. I don't, you know, make plot diagrams and shit. Stephen King said he doesn't do this either. He said, you know, he doesn't go into novels knowing how it's going to end, because how boring is that? I usually have an idea of what I want to do in the story, but I let the characters themselves decide how things are going to progress. I always have the characters act naturally, what's true to their character. I think the worst sin an author can commit is having a character act against their nature in order to further the plot. I hate that contrived shit. I really hate any author who doesn't give a fuck about their characters. That pisses me off. Damn coons! Also, when writing villains, keep in mind that the best villains don't know that they're villains. They think that what they're doing is morally acceptable. And also recognize that there are no secondary characters, at least in terms of how those characters think. Every person in your story thinks that they're the main character. Most of all, when you're writing, think about, does this ever happen in real life, or does it only happen in the movies or stories? Think about, has anything like this ever happened to me? Would this feel natural if it was happening in real life? When your characters are saying dialogue, always listen to it in your head, or speak it out loud. Listen to it, make sure it sounds right, because if it feels... I keep bringing up Stephen King, but he has good advice. He says, if it sounds like writing, get rid of it. I tend to agree, you know, and never put in something just to be clever. If it works for the plot, you know, or if it's something that nobody will notice, or at least will skim over, okay, but don't be like, you know, just referencing things so people will see how clever you are. Ugh, I hate that. Ideally, your job should not just be to tell a story, but to make it easier for the reader to read that story. When a good story is one where you're not even aware that you're reading, you're not aware that your eyes are moving over text, you're not aware that you're turning pages, all you're thinking about is the story. The story is unfolding in front of you like watching a movie. Which is not to say that your reader's mind should not be engaged, it's just that they should be engaged on the characters, the ideas, the plot, the whatnot. They should not be thinking about the words. Could open next question. App129Alt asks, do you know Clyde Cash? No, I do not, sir. Zephan Saul. I've never noticed if there's a pause in there. Anyway, Zephan, good old Zephan, asks, so since Alfie's question is much the same as an impossible question, a la you don't know Jack, here's mine. And yes, I'll get to Alfredo's in a minute. Would you rather be right or be liked? Regardless of your choice, I'd also request you give an example of the answers. A situation where being right is better and a situation where being liked is better. Careful, though the answers may indeed give more insight into your personality than you are comfortable with. Aha, clever boy, this is exactly the kind of question that I like. Thank you, Zephan. Would I rather be right or be liked? I don't know if I have much choice in it. I think I have to say that I'd rather be right. And not in the same way that some people are, where they want to feel right, where they'll ignore all evidence that proves them wrong, you know, and they'll just shout louder, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. Penn and Teller once said that, you know, when you're proven wrong, you should kind of celebrate it. You know, be happy that you've learned something. Be glad to cast away wrong ideas. And I desperately want to be that. I don't want to hold on to any irrational belief. I don't ever want to feel right unless I am right, unless I've really done as much research as I can on the topic, and my information is solid, and I basically want there to be good reason to believe in everything that I believe. And in a situation where, like, I'm arguing with a friend, I gotta stop burping, it tastes like hot dogs, ew. In a situation where I'm arguing with a friend, I can't, you know, back down and just say, oh, okay, you're right, if I know that they aren't. I can't do that, because that would be dishonest. And I believe that dishonesty is never good. You know, even little white lies, you know, because, you know, like say that you and a friend are having a problem, and you say, oh, that's not really a problem, then you're just putting it away. You're keeping the issue from being resolved. And that doesn't help shit. I think, in general, that you can't really have any kind of lasting, real relationship that isn't honest. I was talking to Zeffin before, and I said that I think the real definition of friendship is when you love them because they disagree with you. When, you know, you say something wrong and your friend says, no, you're wrong, and you can admire the fact that they have the courage to do that and know that your friendship is strong enough that you won't take it personally, and you'll be like, okay, yeah, you know, they are right, and you'll actually think about it and not be like, you know, you just hate me, you're disagreeing with me because you hate me, and pull some of that fucking emotional bullshit. But if the question is, would I rather be right or be liked, meaning that they're mutually exclusive, meaning I can be right, but no one will like me, or I can be liked, but be full of shit. Again, I don't know that I have a choice. I think even if it drove away everyone I love, I couldn't lie to them. I just don't think that I could. So, whatever that says about me, that's what it says. And finally at the end of this big long thing, Alfador asks, if an off-Earth colony were being established on the moon, Mars, or a hitherto unknown planet in the vicinity of Alpha Centauri with a sapient biosphere, and you had the power to decide, would you gather the absolute best and brightest, the people most qualified to handle the rigors of living and working in an environment where failure of the life support technology means death for all? Would you make sure to include you and your closest friends, believing that spreading humanity to the stars is the only way to truly ensure long-term survival as a species? Would you include the Amish, knowing they could probably set up a working farm even if 99% of the hydroponics and similar failed? Who else would you include? Would you exclude people if they followed an extreme form of religion, or any religion at all? Would you disclose this criterion? Would you include slash exclude people based on any other aspect of their political social belief structure? How would you handle the people who applied and were rejected? And he goes into a big long explanation of other stuff. But, yeah, you get the idea. This is really difficult. I thought about this one for a really long time, because this isn't the type of decision that I'm tending to go at. One thing's for sure is that I would not include myself and my closest friends, because I'm not qualified to do shit in space. That would require people who are willing to, you know, endure a long trip, and then endure hardships, and work really hard, and I'm not good at any of that. All I'm good at doing is sucking in information, making connections, and spewing them back out so that they're easier for other people to understand. I'm a storyteller. I'm a journalist. I'm a reporter. That's all I am. I'm a mirror of information. So yeah, I would choose the best people for the particular jobs. I would, you know, have other people better suited to it determine who would most be needed. You know, what is the best number of people for this trip in terms of, you know, producing a stable population if that's what's needed? It would be a bunch of people who are good at engineering, you know, building shit, technological shit. I would have people smarter than me make the decisions, I guess. Also, would you include the Amish? Fuck no, because they're so fucking isolated from society that they're little better than radical Muslims. I'll put a link to an article about how much sex abuse and rape there is in Amish communities and how the police can't do shit about it because nobody will report it. Fuck the Amish. Would you exclude people if they followed an extreme form of religion or any religion at all? I think I might. If we're talking about setting up a colony, this would be the first chance to try. This would be a great chance to start a society without the influence of any religion. So yeah, I would send in people who are, you know, beyond that. People, you know, rational thinkers. I have secular humanist, if you want to use that word. There goes the last of my Dr. Pepper. And see what happens. That would be interesting if after a while, you know, religion began to creep in again. That would be fascinating, and it would kind of show that even without established religion, that it was just some part of our soul, you know, take that however you want. Some part of us as humans needed to believe in irrationalities to deal with, just to be able to get through life. And we have to believe in bullshit in order to get through the day. That would be interesting. Would you include exclude people based on either aspect of their political social belief structure? I don't know. It would probably come down to individuals. If there was an individual I thought who believed in something that I thought would genuinely be damaging to this, then I'd exclude them. You know, like somebody who was a racist, or somebody who, you know, believed in one theory to the exclusion of hearing any other dissenting opinions. And how would I handle the people who were applied and were rejected? Oh, he suggests either sending them away or making plans to make a second colonial wave. People who wanted to go along but just weren't good enough. Again, it would depend on the individuals. If they were almost good enough, then yeah, I'd keep them for a second wave, and if they were just fucking nuts, then I would send them on their way. So that's that answered, and I had a lot of fun doing this, even though it's midnight, and I had to turn off my fan so it wouldn't create interference, and I am sweating like Miss Piggy in a sauna getting cunnilingus from Kermit the Frog. Ew, why did I think of that? Oh, I'm still thinking about it. Damn you, brain. Anyway, that's my question and answer thingy. Maybe I'll do another one of these where you ask me more questions. Until then, I don't have a snappy sign-off. Good night!